The Property Pod. Welcome to The Property Pod with MoneyWeb. The property sector is an ever-changing sector. And in this podcast series, your host, Suren Naidu, chats to movers and shakers in the property industry.
Hello and welcome to The Property Pod, South Africa's premier property investor podcast. On this weekly MoneyWeb show, we gain insider insights from leading executives, analysts, developers and entrepreneurs in the country's dynamic property industry. We are continuing with our tourism and hospitality industry theme on the podcast this week, with it being Africa Month and Africa's Travel Indaba having concluded in Durban last week. We've got a heavyweight guest on the podcast who is not only well-known in tourism, but environmental space. And he comes from the beautiful Eastern Cape, a province that we haven't covered too much, unfortunately, on the podcast. But I am really immensely proud to have secured Mr. Adrian Gardner, the icon behind the famous Shamwari Private Game Reserve and Hotel Group Mantis Collection on the latest podcast. The group has been up to several developments in recent years, some big, some small. But Mr. Gardner has also been featured in a new book, a biography on his life. I'm not going to mention it just yet. He's going to share more. Welcome to the Property Pod, Mr. Gardner.
That's very kind of you. I really look forward to chatting to you. And thank you for giving me this opportunity. And I hope that your listeners enjoy the chat.
I'm sure they will, Adrian. Before we get to the book, which is the latest news from yourself and the company, how did Shamwari come about? I've heard of it. I've never been there, but I've heard of it, and I've heard of the hotel group Mantis Connection. But have you always been Eastern Cape? I see you did a BCom degree at UCT at some stage.
Yeah, no, I'm originally from, I was born in Zambia and grew up in Zimbabwe, then Rhodesia, went to school there. And as you rightly say, went to University of Cape Town in 1962. But came to the Eastern Cape, where I got a job with the spa wholesaler here in 1969, a year after I got married. And we built a chain of, at that stage, we called it You Pay and Take It. They were wholesaler cash and carries, which we sold to Metro. And I had a small stake in that and got some money, and then decided in 1974 when we sold to go on my own. And then when I started to go on my own, it was to do with construction of swimming pools, tennis courts, small roads and everything. And then, like most entrepreneurs, I had a ladder fall in 1979, which I think woke me up when I lost everything. But fortunately, didn't get personally sequestrated because I managed to pay back everywhere I'd signed personal sureties and started again. And then really what got me into agriculture and farming and everything was because of my background. My background, as I said, was brought up in Zimbabwe. Now, my dad was involved in running cattle ranches around Zimbabwe. And one of those ranches was 365,000 acres, 150,000 hectares, which had had its own game reserve on it. And that, I think, got into my blood in my teenage, early years and that sort of thing. And I always had this. And then, you know, the first sort of farming enterprise that I went into, because the partner that I had at the time in our crane business was involved in horses. And he was more, you know, he would go to the races to place a bet and that sort of thing. I was more interested in breeding them. And we started a stud farm and built it up in Plettenberg Bay called Roodefontein Stud. And that was opened by then the Minister of Finance, Baron Duplessis, because in those days the tax laws were very different to what they are now. You could use a profit of one company to offset while you were building another. And anyway, that all changed, and I got a good offer for it 10 years after we'd been in the game, and everybody said it wouldn't work there, but it worked very well, and we had some great winners and horses there. And then I had some money then, and I decided, you know, my roots tell me that I need a piece of my own patch of Africa. So I went back to Zimbabwe. I went to the traditional areas of South Africa because I wanted something wildlife. Then fortunately, I met somebody who said, you know what, go and look at this little piece of ground near Ellisdale. And I went and looked, and there was 1,200 hectares, 2,500 acres, and I bought that farm and then bought the one next door. Then I had the opportunity of reading a book written by a fellow called Skeed, and he documented all the wildlife that actually occurred in the Eastern Cape when the 1820 settlers arrived. And what do you think they did? All they wanted was cattle and sheep. And they wiped out everything except 11 elephants. In 1860, the lions were gone. So they wiped out all the game here, which has more species they had and better carrying capacity than anywhere else in South Africa and probably Southern Africa. This was a wildlife destination that should never have been decimated. And then it became my sort of inside me said to me, you know what? Let's put back what was here. And that was started it. And I bought more farms. And then I was very lucky to have the IDC backing me as one of their first private tourism enterprises. And we managed to build up Shamwari. And Shamwari means friend. It's a Shona dialect from Zimbabwe. And Port Elizabeth is known as a friendly city. So that was the beginning of Shamwari in 1989, opened in 92. And we had the lions free roaming by the year 2000 with all the big five back in there. And the only reason it happened was because of the endorsements that I got. And one of the biggest endorsements I got was to get to, I'm sure a lot of your listeners know who he is, Dr. Ian Player, Gary Player's brother. But Ian Player was, in my opinion, the lifeblood of conservation here. And he came to see what I was doing. And he said, this has got to happen. This is a way that we are going to get wildlife back in most parts of Southern Africa if we get the private people to get involved. And you're setting a great example here. And then he introduced me to a number of great conservationists around the world. And I got the endorsements we needed to be able to set it up and get the traction. Because remember, I opened in 92 when South Africa was still a mess. In 94, then the doors opened and I had some amazing visits here, you know, like Virginia McKenna, Brad Pitt, all amazing film stars and golfers, Tiger Woods, Ernie Els. And we really had the endorsements, and that's what happened.
That's a fantastic story. Certainly a serial entrepreneur there, Mr. Gardner. I'm sure there's a lot more to share and a lot of it will be in your book, but we'll get to the book in a sec. Just tell us a little bit. This is the Property Pod. Yes, we do have a more commercial focus, especially if it's in urban jungles, but this is a special story. Just in terms of Mantis Collection, the hotel side of things, how did that come about? I gather from the success of Shamwari. Talk about a little bit your expansion into the broader hospitality industry.
Okay, if I can just go back a bit because I just don't want your listeners to still think that I own Shamwari. I sold Shamwari in 2008 to Dubai World. Just before the world crash, I sold them 70% of it because they wanted that. That big sheikh came to stay with me. He loved what we had done and he wanted to do this through Africa. One of the countries I was very involved in was Rwanda. And we're still in Rwanda and we went to Senegal, I went to Zimbabwe, I went to Zambia, all these places where we were going to replicate what we had done there. And so, and then in 3 years, I had an option to get out of the thing entirely. And they obviously decided that they didn't want to do what they were doing. And they bought me out of Shamwari. But the most important thing is that they let me keep my little patch of land next to Shamwari, only 400 hectares, but I have full traversing rights over Shamwari. So we created what is called the Founders Lodge, where it all began. So all I say to people who come to the Eastern Cape for the first time, they should come to Founders Lodge because we have a museum there. We have the history of what happened there. And it's small. It's intimate. We have a hide there. I have a railway carriage there that can tell you why it's there and that sort of thing. So then they didn't take the Mantis name. They let me carry on with that because Mantis was created in the year 2000. And Ian Player helped me get that name from the praying mantis. And then we created the acronym Man and Nature Together is Sustainable. And because of what we were doing, and people liked exactly what we were doing in terms of conservation and trying to save our planet, we had around the world 80 properties in the top cities, New York, Washington, Paris, all these places we had the Mantis branded hotel. Now, the problem that I had was I didn't have a distribution system, and I didn't have a loyalty program. Then Accor, the big French company, stole one of my top guys and offered him a job, and I said, go there, take your career there. And they went there, and then he told them about Mantis, and they came and looked, and they said, no, this is a brand that we want, because they're very involved in brands. They've got about 40 different brands. And they offered me a good number to sell them in the year 2018, 50% of the Mantis brand. And we were been, the reason that I did it was because now I had a loyalty program, I had a distribution system, and I said to them one other condition. But Dr. Ian Player told me that conservation in Africa will never succeed unless you involve the communities. So you've got to get the communities involved. So just to give you a quick understanding of that is that when I bought the farms and put them together, there were 16 people employed. Today, Shamwari and Founders employ over 500 people. And that's without the multiplier effect of car hire, airports, air transfers, food, booze, and all those sort of things. So and then we were the only hospitality group in the world on all seven continents because Paul found this tented camp in Antarctica, which also had our brand. But then, sadly, what happened to me in my living is, what do you think happened in 2019 and 2020, COVID comes and smashed the hospitality industry. So that really knocked us back. And so, you know, we lost a lot of the properties. We hadn't had the time to institute our distribution system and our loyalty program. But one of the conditions I said to Accor was that we have to create this Community Conservation Foundation, the CCFA Africa. CCFA Africa, which can be America, Australia, Antarctic, Asia, you name it. And I said, how many people in your loyalty program? And they said, I don't know, something between 60 and 100 million. I said, all I want is a dollar worth of points a year. Can you imagine what we could have done to make the world different? And then this damn COVID comes and sits us back, and they had problems in a lot of their different brands and that sort of thing. So they didn't focus on Mantis, and which I don't blame them for. But we're still around and we're still determined to make these things happen. But what I did with the Community Conservation Fund is that I was lucky enough to meet the people who run one of the biggest conservation organizations, or you can call it that, in the world, called American Humane. And what they did, they mainly looked after domestic animals. And fortunately, I knew people from SeaWorld and Busch Gardens. And one of the top guys there went to American Humane as a director. And they said, they've got to create something called Global Humane. And they've got to go to Africa, see me. And they've got to look after now wildlife as well as domestic animals. So they now certify zoos. They certify the SeaWorld and Busch Gardens. And they've certified our Mantis properties as they put a stamp on it. And that stamp is very worthwhile. Do you know that 80% of the funds that come to conservation in Africa come from America? So I think I'm bridging that gap that I lost with the loyalty program.
Thanks for that insight. I sincerely hope with all the politics in the world that it continues, but we won't get into politics. Mr. Gardner, just before we get into your new book, an update on Mantis Collection. How big is it currently? It still has quite a presence in a number of countries around the world and in Africa. It's quite a big brand, and obviously your partnership with Accor means that it will grow.
So it's significant, obviously, Southern Africa, and now we're very, very busy in the Middle East. So we're opening hotels in Bahrain and Saudi, but that's obviously with the help of Accor. We're talking to people in India at the moment. So we're hoping to get back to that at least 50 properties. At the moment, we're about halfway there. So sadly, we're sort of starting again, but, you know, we're writing quite new rules about, you know, if you could become a Mantis property, these are the guidelines that we want to follow, which are very respectful of conservation and savior of our planet.
You are now an octogenarian, I understand, Adrian, and a new book has been published on your amazing environmental work, especially in the Eastern Cape. How did this come about, and what can book lovers look forward to reading? Because you've shared a little bit about your story on this podcast.
Yeah, I think, you know, what it is, besides that, it's the heading of the book is The Man Who Changed the Landscape. And it's obviously around the work that I did. But, you know, the author that I got to do, Dr. Dean Allen, did an incredible job in interviewing a lot of people, probably, I don't know, 60 to 80 people around the world about, you know, what we were doing and what we want to tell. And so it gives history of what I did. It goes into the horses, it goes into the transport, the crane. But the half the book is really about the creation and the saving of wildlife. And we're trying to create a corridor in the Eastern Cape now from Plettenberg Bay to Graaff Reinet. when we're busy with the Wilderness Foundation, which was started by Dr. Ian Player, and which I got him to bring to Port Elizabeth, the Eastern Cape, and run by Andrew Muir now, has done an incredible job. I think it's probably the third biggest foundation in South Africa. And we're trying to create a corridor, as I say, with everybody dropping their fences. And if we get it right, do you know that we'll be 1.5 to 2 times the size of Kruger? So there's a long way to go. Unfortunately, I don't see, as you say, in my lifetime, I won't see it. But there's so much interest now in the Eastern Cape about what we're doing and what can happen in terms of creating this as a major destination for wildlife in Southern Africa. And I desperately want Addo to change their name from Addo Elephant Park to Addo National Park, because they've put back the big five. They followed my footsteps and they've got them there. So it's a great national park. They're expanding it. They're doing a great job there. They're one of the best run parks, national parks that I know in South Africa. So the better that they do, the better we will do. And you, just to let you know that there are 15 other parks that followed the Shamwari model now. So they've turned their farms that were livestock, domestic livestock, cattle and sheep into game. So obviously the game industry in this part of the world, and you know, we were the first in South Africa to be able to have the Big Five experience where you could go to malaria free. So we've got no malaria here. So that's also quite positive. So, you know, and besides that, then, you know, we also got the boats on the Chobe Zambezi, you know, that I didn't mention, but that's one of our most popular products, very well received in America. And if you, sometimes your listeners have got to understand that seeing game from the water instead of on the land is a very different experience. So if you go there and you go and you sit on that boat, or in the little boats that come off, you can watch the elephants or everything's coming down, antelope coming down to the water in winter to drink out of the Chobe Zambezi River. And guess what's waiting for it? A crocodile and a lion. So it's a amazing experience. And the whole book tells the story on all these adventures and, you know, how we're doing and what I really hope that the people that have read it will be inspired to be able to give back what we need.
You mentioned Ian Player being a good friend of yours and involved with some of your efforts in the early days. And just for our listeners to note that Ian's brother, the famous golfer Gary Player, has actually written the foreword to this book on Dr. Gardner's efforts in tourism and rather the environment. Mr. Gardner, you mentioned that you're no longer involved in Shamwari directly, but Mantis Collection, I see you still have executive chairman. What's your day-to-day responsibilities there? Is it a strategic role? Because you are in your 80s now. Are you retiring anytime soon?
Yeah, I wish I could, but you know, it's like, do you know that Sir David Attenborough is turning 99 this year? The problem is when you're in something that you love, and you want to make a difference, it's not easy. But I'm very, very privileged to be able to say that my family, my daughter, my two sons are involved. One runs a great travel business called Gilt Edge Travel. Paul lives in London and has an association with Bear Grylls, and he looks after the market there. So, and he's very involved in the conservation side of the business. So, you know, whilst they are growing up in it, I'm trying to take a bit of a back seat. So as far as Mantis is concerned, you know, although I'm the executive chairman, you know, the CEO is the guy that left me, that I told you about, Craig Erasmus, and then went to them. He's the CEO of Accor or Mantis in South Africa. So we work very closely together. So it's still what I'd like to think is quite a nice, still close-knit family organization.
Well, they are making a bigger play for the SA market, not just through your group. I understand they're running a few hotels with different players in other parts of the country and have been talking to Growth Point to get into some of their properties, both in Cape Town and Johannesburg. But turning a little bit to the business side of things, what influenced that sale of your group to Accor? You talked about it might have come, correct me if I'm wrong, just after COVID or around COVID, but and you lost a senior executive to them. But I read a story that says that you and the Accor Group have similar DNA, so you all are partners more than anything else.
Yeah, that's very true. We are. So, you know, we're a partnership and we rely on them. And I think that obviously the main group of directors also have an interest in what we're doing, and I think they just really want to see this, because they're going out with all sorts of things now about, you know, not to use plastic, not to do this, not to do that. And they're writing all sorts of things about it, which basically were created by us in the early days. So we want to follow that, so that association. So going forward, I just hope that this will become a brand that is really recognized worldwide. And then it all started in a small little town called Port Elizabeth, Gqeberha, in South Africa, but is going to be really global again. And just, you know, again, I want to emphasize that if it wasn't for Ian Player, I promise you that I wouldn't have got to where I am. He became like an elder brother to me. And obviously that's how I became close to Gary Player. But what I didn't mention to you is that I was really involved in golf, is that Ernie Els's dad and I were in business for 30 years in transport. We had a transport company, and we used to do a lot of transport from Port Elizabeth up north and vice versa. And so I've known Ernie since he was about 12 or 14, and he's like a godson to me. And I've been privileged to have been at, I was at the US Open when he won that and all the rest of it. But and then Gary took me through the clubhouse at the Masters. So and then Gary and I, since Ian had died, have become very close. And I'll tell you an interesting story. He has a new lady with him now. You know, sadly, his wife passed away about 5 years ago, and an American lady, and he brought her to Founders. And I was, and he gave me the impression she didn't know much about Africa. And when I spoke to her and said to her, tell me, what do you know about wildlife in Africa? She said, I've been everywhere. I've done the migration. I've done the gorillas. I've done this. I've done Botswana. And the last place I was up was in the Sabi Sand. And I was on the back foot then, because she'd been at my place for 24 hours. So I said, well, what do you think of what you've seen here? She said, Adrian, I want to tell you, in all honesty, this is the best game experience I've had anywhere. I've seen more species. I've seen them from up on a hill, and I've seen how close we get to them, and I see what rewilding means and what you've done to restore the landscape. This is a life-changing experience. So to come from somebody like that was really made my heart warm.
We're running out of time a little bit, so I've just got one concluding question that I'll put together. The Eastern Cape is still one of the poorest provinces in South Africa, but one of the most beautiful, considering the long coastline and untapped areas like the Wild Coast. Obviously, you've done more work further down the coast towards, you know, PE and Nelson Mandela Bay and going closer to Platt. But what is your ultimate vision for the province from a tourism perspective? And the reason I ask this is you have all this passion, and it's you guys are doing work, but is the province playing a role? Because that whole marketing spiel around the Eastern Cape also being a big five province in South Africa, you don't often hear about it other than Shamwari being a big brand and Addo Elephant Park, for example.
There you see, you go Addo Elephant Park. That's why I've got to get rid of that. Addo National Park. But you know what you said there is so correct and heartbreaking. I mean, if you just saw Port Elizabeth today, and you, as it was, I mean, if you look back 15 years and you see how the cities here have, for want of a better word, have been downgraded, it's just sad. And what I'm trying to do at the moment, and it's taken me 10 years and I'm nearly there, is that, you know, we have the best collection of the Mandela Museum pieces in Mthatha. And I've said to them, please, can we borrow that collection for 6 months every year and bring it to Port Elizabeth, to Mandela Bay? Because then I'll get tourists to come here. And I'm nearly there. And we found the 100% correct building to put it in. I'm working with the landlord. We've got to create product. If people want to come to the Eastern Cape, what products have you got? Why do you think they go to Cape Town? They've got Table Mountain. They've got, you know, the island where Mandela was. So you've got the vineyards. You've got a whole lot of different product. So 90% of the visitors that come to us have started their tour in Cape Town. So we've got to create product here. And, you know, I said to our premier not long ago, I said, can you do me a favor? Rwanda's got 12 million people. We've got 8 million people in our province. Come with me. I'll introduce you to the president, and let's follow some of the things that he's done. Do you know that every person there has a title deed? Do you know that the country closes the last Saturday of every month to pick up litter? There's no litter anywhere. There's no plastic anywhere. All the robots work. Everything works. Surely if they can do it there, why can't we set the example that this province becomes the cleanest province with the most employment and that everybody's proud of. Please let it happen.
Thank you so much on that clarion plea to more Eastern Capers to do what you are doing. But it's very interesting what you tell me about the Nelson Mandela artifacts. I was down past his town when I went to Hole in the Wall. And there's definitely tremendous potential in leveraging the Madiba magic, as it were. Mr. Gardner, I wish I had more time, but it's been a fantastic chat. Thanks so much for your time, sir. That was Mr. Adrian Gardner, the icon behind the famous Shamwari Game Reserve, as well as hotel group Mantis Collection.
Thanks for listening to the MoneyWeb Property Pod with Suren Naidu. To listen to more episodes, go to moneyweb.co.za or the MoneyWeb app and follow MoneyWeb News for daily updates. Follow Suren on Twitter at Suren Naidu for more of his property industry content and other business stories. The
Property Pod. MoneyWeb, your trusted source for business and investment insights.